All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hello, hello.
Ryan!
Welcome to the show. Today, Ryan's taking over.
Hey. Sorry, I was just
one more try.
Projecting.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
I think Ryan. I think Larry might actually be joining us later for
cool.
an interview.
For an interview, cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
In, do a little intern research.
Larry the intern.
Sarah's going to say something.
Yeah, on this episode, we're going to talk about 8 games coming to Kickstarter the week of April 23rd, 2018.
And these aren't the only games coming to Kickstarter.
No, these are the games we are highlighting this week.
That's yeah. Right. These are the ones that we were like, you know, these are probably the cream of the crop. We should talk about these games.
Yeah, these are the diamonds in the rough.
As explained in the beginning of our podcast.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
People probably want to know, like, what is the technical, like, procedure for us picking our games? And I feel like this is as good a time as any for us
sure.
to reveal the secret, like, pull the curtain back.
Yeah, we can pull the curtain.
Let's talk about the mysteries.
So the first step is to find out most of the games that we know are coming. So a lot of that is from research. All over the place.
Right. A lot of people contact us and share information about their games, which we usually appreciate.
Yeah, and some of it is just Kevin and the rest of us doing a lot of legwork and searching forums and searching Facebook and other...
Board Game Geek.
Yeah.
Don't make it sound too hard. Usually we're just surfing the internet. We're like, oh, this is cool looking.
Yeah, yeah. I will say there is a good percentage of games I'm on social media and all of a sudden I see an ad or I'll see like
someone talk
about this game's coming. I was like, oh, let me screenshot that while I think because I don't screenshot it, I'll just totally forget about it. And then later, like the next day or when I start working on compiling information, I'll look at all my screenshots and I'll put it in our
top secret highly confidential.
I didn't even know that's how you did it.
Triple encrypted. Yeah. Document. Yeah.
And sometimes companies change their dates, so even after we've recorded a podcast.
A good example would be Haven.
Not jerks, but...
So Haven from Red Raven Games decided not even to go to Kickstarter.
Yep. They're Katie talked about it last
week.
Episode.
But that's okay. Still a cool game. You'll still see
it. It's still coming. Yeah, keep an eye out.
It's not coming out to Kickstarter. It's just coming straight to retail.
Well, then.
In the fall.
Wasting our time.
Sorry, guys.
But you'll see it on board games, on shelves at board game stores.
And you'll know about it because you heard about it here.
That's right.
First.
Yep, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So then from that point, then... We all look at the list and we say, that game, we like start researching the games and we say, Will likes these types of games. He likes IP games. So he might like the Street Fighters, the Planet of the Apes.
Let's not just say IP, let's say really cool games. I mean, there's a difference between...
Wait. Let's see. Terminator.
They are.
Ninja Turtles.
I'm sure there's other IPs that I didn't.
Okay,
like.
80s. IPs.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Sarah.
From Will's childhood. Will just really likes reminiscing.
That's an
example. I had a good childhood. So that's an example. And then if there's other games like we see, like, oh, maybe there's, like, we're talking about an RPG on this today's podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, maybe Ryan or Katie might be interested in talking about
or
that.
Or things with miniatures and more tactical combat.
Yeah.
And or then, like, it's just made out of squares. Maybe Melissa.
Cubes? I love cubes.
Lots of colorful cubes.
Yeah, so we kind of divvy up the things that, you know, are coming down the pipe so that we're not all looking at the exact same thing.
We definitely go through the list and we find, there's been several times I don't talk about anything because, you know what? I look at them and I said, I don't like any of these.
Right. And that's okay.
Yeah, so that's how we do it. We're trying to bring to you the things that we think are going to be interesting games.
Yeah, interesting to talk about, interesting to you guys to go, once you hear about them, go look at them when they come out on Kickstarter. So,
and that we think stand a good chance at funding, too. There are plenty of games that come down the pipe, and it's like, they don't have their stuff together yet, and they need a little more time to, you know, polish it.
And we're looking at these before they actually make it on Kickstarter, so we don't know what their page is going to look like or what the funding goals. Some companies have previews that we can look at, but a lot of times it's just whatever, you know, the company has pre-released is the information we have.
And sometimes we miss some great games because companies choose not to give out any advertising or information about their game ahead of time. And so it's it's just up on Kickstarter live and nobody knows about it yet.
I always wonder what that strategy mindset is. Like, I can understand.
I actually have heard the one strategy that I've heard of a company that is pretty well known. They're like, we're not going to say anything. We're going to keep it super secret. And then we're just going to launch it on Kickstarter. I'm just like,
do they even like leak the information? Like, we're bringing something?
No.
Nothing?
Yeah. But I think in today's market, you need to start a groundswell in order to get people excited.
Even if you are really mysterious, saving like you your were money. Saying. Right. Yeah, even if you just say there's something cool coming.
Well, here's a good example of that. Would be Gamelan Games did that one. We were like, what's the puzzle piece that was like
Tiny Epic.
Something. What? And so we got to talk about it on the podcast, even though we had no clue what it was.
Yep. I was right, right?
No one was right. It was zombies.
And then nobody got it.
One of the other ways we know about games is the ones that are actually sent to us for us to preview and put onto our channel.
And that's when we obviously have the most information too. Like we're not just looking at pictures and reading documents. We're playing it and giving you our feedback. And so send us your games. We'll check them out.
Yeah, sounds good. But we played games tonight.
We did. We played a bunch of them. It's a couple new ones, a couple prototypes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you guys playing on the far end of the table?
So two that we don't want to talk too much about. One was Treasure Mountain by August Games. It's a dwarf worker placement game. And another one was On Tour by BoardGamesTables.com.
Really?
So
cool.
Yeah, BoardGamingTables.com.
I didn't know if you could find that. Interesting.
So, that was a roll and write game, and we'll talk about those in a future episode. But I know you guys played Manhattan.
We did.
And another game
that I don't know what the name of it was.
Oh, Mistborn.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The House Wars, and it was on Kickstarter, funded successfully. It's based on the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson, and in this game, you're playing as the bad guys, the different houses. Mm-hmm. In the city.
I felt dirty the whole time.
And it's basically kind of a negotiation type game where you're trying to...
And it's definitely take that.
Yeah, backstab, you're trying to take advantage of other players, stealing their resources.
Ryan, how did you feel about this game?
I felt like Katie and my relationship needs some counseling.
No! Now, Katie did from the, start
what was
the game.
First Troy.
Wait, and who were you? House what?
I was House Venture.
Oh, that was like the top one, except for...
Second one.
There's highest. One more above you, but that wasn't even part of the... Like, no one was the Steel
Nobody
Ministry.
Nobody was,
And I was House Squad-On or something. I was like 11 in the stack. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, there's like 12 different houses.
We did a random draw of what your house is, and it is a variable player power. Yeah. So
you were first player, and what happened?
Well,
right out of the gate.
All right, right out of the gate, because I ended up with enough tokens. Like, the idea of this is you have to have certain tokens to fulfill certain cards. I don't know.
Like requirements.
Problems.
Problems, right.
To solve these problems. And so you're usually having to negotiate with other players to go in with you to solve these problems, and then you kind of separate points out based on how many points the card's worth. But right off the bat, I had enough to complete a card on my own.
Ooh.
And I just asked anybody else if they wanted to go in with me, because the consequences were, when I finished it, I would then get to choose one person to ruin their supply, so they would never get to resupply one of their tokens.
That's terrible from the very beginning.
It is.
So she raised this dark hatchet.
I did.
She didn't even give us points.
I said, I will not give you any points, but I will guarantee I will not ruin one of your resources if you go in. So I gave everybody the option to do it. Ryan had an out because he actually had none of the tokens required.
Okay, so
he was okay, but Will flat out refused. And I was like, are you sure?
Katie was like standing over all of us. We were all like sitting cowering. And then she was like, which one of you?
Well, Will was actually like, I dare you to do that.
He said, I dare you. And I said, all right.
I lost.
He did.
Were you like last place?
I was last. Totally last place.
Well, his house only produced two goods each round. Yeah. And so right off the bat, I ruined one of his goods. So he was only getting one good each round.
So the game has several different end conditions. And two of the end conditions, the person with the most points wins. And then one of the end conditions, the person with the least points wins. Mm-hmm. So throughout the game, you're trying to manage, do I want a lot of points or do I want fewer points? Can I swing it?
Right, there are ways to get negative points throughout if you want to.
So is this, what's the player count? 2 to 5? 3 to 5?
3 to 5.
3 to 5. And you guys played 5-player.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think turn-wise? Did you feel it went smooth? Like, did it clip along? Did it feel like it was taking a while?
There was a little bit of analysis paralysis, especially on my part.
Okay.
Because you have to read all of the problems, because some you can like, oh, that's not going to hurt me at all. That'll just hurt everybody else. I'm totally fine with that going by. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know?
The making it erupt.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that. Because if you don't fulfill or solve the problem, that problem will erupt.
And there's consequences on the card. So anyway, there was a little bit of analysis paralysis for me.
And there are cards you can play that help you hurt other people, all sorts of stuff. So lots of backstabbing and
a lot of
wheeling and dealing
deals,
bribing to cut other people out of a deal, that sort of thing.
So if you like negotiation games, then you should maybe check out
Mistborn. And you like being a bad guy.
Mistborn from Crafty Games. And that should be on retail shelves now or soon.
So one other terrible, horrible news type of thing. Did you guys hear the game industry altering news?
No, what?
IKEA is discontinuing the Calyx.
Are they really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. We need to make a trip.
I thought that was like the only reason people go there.
Hurry, everybody flee. Go to
IKEA. Is this on Facebook? Where'd you hear about this?
Yes. But this is, now, they've already done this once because they had a previous model before the Calyx, Expedit or whatever, that was, it was very similar, just different finishes and, you know.
Weird.
So they are getting a new one that will be replacing it.
Okay. We'll see. I don't know.
But we will be making a trip.
What's the board game industry going to do?
I know. All those shelfies out there, ruined.
Oh.
We're going to have to get a second one real quick.
So we can do so. We're going to have to go.
Symmetry.
Yeah, it has to match. We're going to
have to get
Wow.
I think they just do it to sell out of their stock. They're
they
like,
probably
we'll
do.
Make all those board gamers panic and we'll.
They probably post it on board game websites. I assume they do.
Yeah,
we're
they do.
We're getting rid of this.
Can't believe it. All right, so I think we need to give a shout out to our sponsor, not IKEA.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Fisher Heaton Games. Their game Moonshot is coming to Kickstarter on April 24th. Later in the podcast, we'll have details about how you can enter for a chance to win their game, Intel.
Ooh, a chance to win Intel.
Intel's a cool one, and Moonshot's a cool one.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting on both of those.
Yeah. We'll talk about Moonshot in a second, but Intel is a two-player strategy game, and this was kickstarted last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our Larry the intern that really likes...
I know, where's he at to talk
he
about
loves
it.
This game.
Yes, like, he's been like teaching people left and right, it's a pretty cool... like. Placement game. I don't really know what you call that mechanic, but abstract placement
abstract
with some
game.
Theme.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's a pretty cool game. So we'll tell you how to have a chance to win a copy. Sorry, have a chance to win a copy of Intel later in the episode.
Kickstarter Conniption.
All right, Katie. So what is the first game on your list for tonight?
So, coming to Kickstarter April 24th is Overlight.
Ooh.
And it is by Renegade Games.
Mm.
It is pretty exciting because this will be the first RPG that we talk about that's coming.
Yeah.
And they actually, new RPG systems don't come out that often, or at least not by big companies.
Yeah.
I mean, people will like self-publish.
Yeah, you'll see stuff on Kickstarter and stuff like that, just like one-off things. But this seems like they're creating this whole...
They're making, and they have made their own entire like new world, and so they're not basing it off of any mythos that we recognize. There aren't dwarves, there aren't elves. You know, we're looking at totally new races, totally new peoples. And as far as I can tell, these are not the traditional RPG classes either. You know, it doesn't look like they're going to have something like a bard and, you know, a fighter and a magician.
What's Ryan going to do?
We'd have to learn a whole new system. And I actually haven't been able to tell yet what system it's based off of. Or, I mean, if it's... like what kind of dice it uses, the dice system.
We should have Sarah from Renegade Game Studios on our podcast next week. What do you guys think?
Ooh, we should.
You
want
to do that?
She just had a play.
Maybe she could enlighten us on some of these the mysteries that still surround the Overlight.
We will make that happen. She'll be on the podcast next week. All right.
All right. Ooh, let's work on it. Yeah. All right.
Now, is it kind of a sci-fi theme?
I'd say it's a lot more fantasy.
Okay.
It describes itself as being highly colorful, and
I saw this picture of like these lands or these like floating islands,
yes,
like stacked on top of each other.
They're called shards, okay. And it's the idea that the idea of the world is that the ability to create and change the world was given to men thousands of years ago. But it backfired because men weren't ready for it.
Idiots.
I know. So it created these shards, and then there's all sorts of issues with, you know, like dark forces and things like that. But so there's seven floating continents, and they each have their own peoples that live on these continents, and they each like prize a different type of virtue.
Cool.
And so it sounds like there's going to be a lot of these like mixing and matching virtues to make your own classes. I don't know. There sounds like there's a lot of neat variety in there. And I'm actually just super interested to see how they built something that would be very different from things that we've already seen.
We'll have to get the inside scoop from Sarah next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
So, yep. Ryan, what do you have?
From Ludus Magnus Studio is Black Rose Wars, coming April 26th. This is, it looks like it's a deck builder game with some area control. You're one of four mages, you can play 2 to 4, and it's got some really cool minis for these mages. And you're one of four mages, and you're fighting the other mages, and also the different rooms in this Black Rose Lodge that's in turmoil and apparently trying to kill you. You're trying to become the new Grand Master of the Lodge. And it looks like it's a randomly generated map with hex spaces. And it looks really slick. They've definitely put a lot of time into this. It's a very ambitious looking game with all of the different minis and the artwork and stuff.
Yeah, the art on this is really
I don't think
cool.
They're overreaching. Like, they've definitely put the work in, and it looks pretty interesting. The deck building aspect of it is you're building, like, your spell book. So each card that you're building into your deck is a different spell,
cool,
with classics like Fireball and also raising, like, the undead and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. It's pretty cool. Black Rose Wars coming April 26th. And Will?
April 24th is Eye for an Eye. I just really quick shout out, because I think Kevin maybe talked about this on a previous episode.
Yeah, we had an interview with a guy from Australia.
Yeah, really cool looking game. Real-time dice, illustrated by the Miko. It looks interesting. I definitely would love to play this sometime. I'm a big fan of the real-time types of game. And it says you can play a single round in 5 minutes or an entire tournament in 1 hour.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to check it out. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the game Kicking Class. It is coming to Kickstarter on April 24th. And this is a very richly themed game. We've got a prototype that we've played of this one, and a review coming soon, so you can check that out on YouTube.
Tell us about that theme.
I was also, yeah. So I've been questioning, yes, about that. Is that like, I'm learning to kick in this class, or is it like I'm cutting class? Because I'm not sure what that means.
Well, this is a high school
themed game. Okay. So you're going through each of the 4 years of high school. Mm-hmm. You're taking classes, and by taking them, you have to pass the class, you have to roll specific dice combinations with the dice that you already have. Mm-hmm. And then you have things to do over the summer, like you can hang out with friends and gain popularity, and popularity is a big thing in high school,
of course,
and it's
it
a
is.
Big portion of the game.
And it determines who goes first.
Yeah. You can also work, or you can study and take the ACT, and then you are able to take it multiple times if you can get the right tokens and try and get a better score the more
just
times.
Just in real life.
Whoa,
yep, just like in real
yeah,
life.
This sounds a lot like actual high school.
It does.
If you fail a class, it's pretty hilarious. Like, yeah. embarrassing things happen to you, and yeah. you get detention and stuff like that.
They did a great job with the theme on this one. And if you like dice games, check out Kicking Class. Kevin, what are you talking about?
Well, I have a game coming from Colossal Games. That company might sound familiar because they've done a number of Kickstarters already this year. They just finished Imperius and did very well on Kickstarter. The Congrats. Next game at the end of April they're bringing is Omen. This is actually a series of games that are standalone two-player card games and feature two different distinct game modes in those games, standard and draft. The standard game has players drawing cards from a collective deck and getting those cards from a collective discard pile. The draft game allows players to access to their favorite units with each player drafting his own deck to play the game with. So the three different games in the Omen series is Omen, Reign of War, Omen, Edge of Aegean, and Omen, Fires in the East. So look forward to that coming out the end of April. And the artwork's pretty good. Melissa?
Well, I'm mentioning Moonshot by Fisher Heaton Games.
There it is.
Our episode sponsor.
Our episode sponsor.
This is coming out April 24th. It is for 3 to 5 players. It plays in about 30 to 60 minutes, and it is a dice rolling betting game where each player has spaceships that they're trying to finish a race with. But the kind of tricky thing is, each round you bet on who you think is going to get the majority of their ships or the most ships into their storage by finishing the race. But you can't bet on yourself until round 6.
Oh, you're not allowed to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I didn't know that.
So, what happened to me is I got 3 of my ships in pretty early, so everyone's betting on me, but I can't bet on myself. So
she's really
they're getting tons of points. So it's kind of this... you're not necessarily just trying to win the race because you need to get points through the betting. That's where you're going to get most of your points. There are cards you can play that can help different people move forward or backwards. It is a bit of a roll and move mechanic, but you have several ships that you can move, so you have some choices with that. So it's very interactive with people pushing maybe not even themselves, but someone else further ahead because that's the person they've bet on a lot.
Yeah.
So kind of like Camel Up or some other betting games, there are certain people, colors that you want to do better, and it's probably not your own.
Yeah, I mean, even though you think, oh, this is a roll and move game, it to me it's more of a betting game and trying to figure out whose ships are going when and where and how far fast they're doing.
Even sabotaging the people you haven't bet on, so trying to get them not to finish the race and get their ships into their storage. Kevin and I did a preview of this, so there should be a video on our YouTube channel for this. It has good art, it's very colorful. I think for families, kids, people who like a lot of interactivity in their games, those are the type of people who will like Moonshot by Fisher Heaton Games on April 24th. Katie, you have something else?
I do. I am also taking a look at Court of the Dead Mourner's Call.
Okay.
And it is a 2 to 4 player game. It says it's going to take about 90 minutes, so it's a little bit heavier. But it is a fantasy game that's set in death.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you play a mourner who is somebody who's already died, and they're allegiant to death. And each of the players are all trying to reach this common goal, but they all have hidden goals as well. And so you're trying to all accomplish this main goal so that you can win the game, but whoever's able to accomplish their hidden goals ends up actually winning the game. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, the whole group has to win for anybody to be able to win.
Co-op so competitive.
It's one of those co-op competitive, and I don't normally like that, but if you know from the very beginning that you're all secretly competing, then I feel like that's a little more okay.
Cool.
But so this is, this has area control, it's hand management, it's also worker placement, but it looks like it has just a really interesting theme and backstory. You're trying to influence factions in the Land of the Dead. The factions are bone, flesh, and spirit, and everything is just illustrated very beautifully. And it looks like it's going to be one of those, like, really interesting games. It's going to be a little bit heavier, so it's just a 90-minute game. And there's so much going on, and I look at it and I go, wow, this would be very interesting to sit down and play.
So this game is based off the world of Court of the Dead, because I think Court of the Dead has been around for a little while.
Yes.
And Mourner's Call is like the board game version of this.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
yeah, the miniatures look pretty sweet on those. So
they're pretty intense. The board art is pretty intense.
They might be trying to give Seamon a run for its money or something with these miniatures.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way.
You could definitely stick a Seamon logo on this. I mean, it looks like that level of detail.
And this is from Project Raygun, and I think USAopoly is working on this with the help of Druid City Games. So you got some pretty big names working on this project.
Yeah. So that is Court of the Dead, Mourner's Call. Kevin, did you have something else?
I did. I have one more.
Oh, my goodness. Was that a surprise? Because I didn't really
have a
second one.
I threw in another game. This is the eighth game, if you've been counting.
Oh, okay.
It's still the eighth game. This game I forgot to even add on the list, but I saw this at Unpub 8, and I wanted to mention it. It's called Fire Tower, and it's also coming to Kickstarter at the end of April. Fire Tower is a competitive game where players must fight fire with fire.
What? That doesn't make sense.
Most firefighting games have a cooperative aspect with players working together to beat back the flames, but in Fire Tower, your only objective are to protect your own tower and spread the blaze towards your opponents.
Psychos.
Oh, I don't know. This sounds like it should be called, like, Pyromaniacs or something.
So the game plays 2 to 4 players. Action cards allow players to alter the direction of the wind, add varying patterns of fire, water, and defensive barriers to the board. The skill comes in effectively directing their resources in your hand and using spatial planning to deploy them. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Spatial planning? Like,
yeah,
you have to
figure out
control or like puzzle.
Maybe look more like, I don't know if a puzzle's the right word, but you have like these gems that like act as fire that you're trying to like move them around. So trying to figure that out on the board. So,
yeah. Speaking of Unpub, you guys are still planning to go to Proto Atlanta coming up.
Yeah.
When's that? Like a couple weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Beginning of May, right? May 4th through the 6th.
Yeah, something right at the beginning of May.
We'll make sure you check out all the cool secret stuff. That's
I'm sure we'll make
we'll
it.
We'll be
on
like,
the right
well,
day.
Here's the surprise game that we have.
I can't wait.
It's not even on the list.
We should jump into the interview with Brandon Rollins. Welcome to the house.
Hey.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in the board game industry.
Sure. My name's Brandon Rollins. I make games. I help others make games. And I think what most people know me for now is making communities like a big Discord group.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about this group.
So I have been building up a Discord server for about a year now, and I've got over 1,000 game developers in there. And the basic idea is that people just go in there and they talk about their projects and they hang out and just share information and share what they're working on in any stage, whether it's done or whether it's just been started.
Cool. So you call yourself a game developer, which I guess is different than a game designer. What's the difference between those two?
Funny story, when I actually picked out that name, I did not know the difference. Turned out it actually was right, so didn't have to change it. The way I think that's easiest to describe it is game designers work strictly on a game. They work on mechanics, they'll play test it. They'll get it to a playable state, and developers will work on everything around that, from making sure the idea is marketable from the get-go to getting it out to the right people, helping arrange manufacturing, fulfillment, and so on. Within game developer, there's like a whole bunch of different roles that lead into that.
So what games have you worked on as a developer?
I've worked on a couple. I've done these myself. Like, I've been a one-man band for a couple of years. And I did Warcode. That was kickstarted in 2016. I did Highways and Byways. Had to cancel that about a week ago.
Okay.
And got some other prototypes I've worked on. And new stuff that I'm starting as well.
Cool. So are you helping develop some... You said you have this, like, server where people are jumping on board and talking about games. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my goodness, how do I describe that succinctly? how familiar are you with Discord? Should I go into how that works for
you? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that would be very helpful for our listeners.
So imagine it like Slack or like Slack or Skype, if you've worked with either of those programs. It is okay. Real-time chat program, maybe like a spiritual successor to IRC for some listeners out there who are familiar with it. It's real-time chat. People pop in when they are, when they've got a few moments to spare, or when they're pretending to work at work, and then they'll just talk about the games that they're working on, or they'll just talk about stuff that's going on in their day. They'll share pictures of prototypes. They'll get people to play games with them on tabletop sims, stuff like that.
So, what are some of the exciting things that you've seen happen on this server through these conversations?
Oh my goodness, I've watched people come completely out of nowhere, and in like 6-8 months, I've seen them go from I'm kicking around this idea to going on Kickstarter, raising a few thousand dollars, and getting their name out there for the very first time, and that's been really exciting to watch. Like, the first thing that comes to mind was State of Wonder, because this was a first-time designer got out there and funded first try, and that was huge to watch, because a lot of us were a part of playtesting that. A lot of us were you know, saying encouraging things when it was a moment of anxiety for the developer and so on.
Sure. So talk to me about, like, what kind of advice would you give to game designers then?
Oh goodness. Strictly about game design or about some of the bigger context around game development?
Yeah, maybe the bigger context is what I'm looking
for. Yeah, bigger context is, wow, board gaming goes a lot deeper, I think, than most people realize. Like, when you are creating games, there are sometimes moments in which those games are likely to make it or not likely to make that on the market. When you're making something, you are catering to very specific tastes for very specific people. And if you want something to be like a smash hit, you have to find a very specific audience, start building up that audience, and then get that to them at the right time, and make sure that you've got all the logistics handled. And I feel like I try to be super open about the process, the ups and downs and all the stuff that goes along with it, just because a lot of designers I don't think actually know all that goes into it.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the
biggest thing is build an audience.
Building an audience,
that's probably number one, is build an audience.
So tell me, what made you decide to start this Discord server and do this?
I had this sense that I should probably start working on a community of some sort. Discord was just at hand, so that's what I started working on. Some people have done Facebook groups. I'm starting to get into that a little bit.
Okay.
But I was just already using Discord to talk with friends, so I just started building that up with game developers. I started reaching out to people on Twitter and Instagram, and slowly started building it up that way.
So how user-friendly is it?
You hop in there at any time, and you can ask anybody any question. As far as Discord itself, like as software, a lot of people jump in and they don't know where stuff is actually located. We will send them screenshots and say, click over here to get to different rooms where different conversations are taking place. Click over here to see who's online.
Cool. So is this open to like anyone that wants to join, or like how do you filter that?
It's free. It's open. There's a button on the main screen of my website, and that's how you can get in there. Or anybody can invite you.
Okay, so where can listeners go to find out more about that?
That would be on BrandonTheGameDev.com. Center button.
BrandonTheGameDev.com. Are you encouraging, like, since you are talking about game development, it sounds like, are you encouraging more, like, game designers and game developers or people that are, like, in the beginning phases of, you know, getting their game out or thinking about games that...
I try to document the whole process so that people are just aware of everything that goes into making games. So if a designer wants to do more developer tests, they can start picking that up and running with that and seeing what they like. I think more important than getting designers into development is just letting them know that other things exist, and they might even like things other than game design itself.
Sure. So, what kind of people are you encouraging to come onto the server? Just people that are interested in board games, or is it more specific?
I would say if you like board games, and especially if you are working on one of your own, or if you even just have a blog or a podcast or something, you're getting started, those are the kind of people I think who would really benefit most from it. Anybody who's getting started in board games.
Cool. So you get the word out through social media and hopefully people listening to people on podcasts like this one. How else are you getting the word out?
Mainly social media. I use my website, and the rest of it is just word of mouth.
Cool. So they can say the website one more time for us.
That would be BrandonTheGameDev.com.
And where else can listeners find you?
You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, probably some other places I don't know about yet, and that's all. My username on all those is Brandon Game Dev. So cool. No, keep the in there, just Brandon Game Dev.
Yeah, gotta keep it shorter. So, do you go to conventions or things like that?
Every once in a while, I'll go to a local one. I especially like Proto Spiels, but I haven't done Gen Con or anything super big like that.
Okay, I know a few of us are going to Proto Atlanta, and that's I think at the beginning of May.
Yeah, that's really close. I'm in Chattanooga. I want to see if that works with my work schedule. See if I can make that happen.
All right, cool. So if you're able to do that, you need to let me know so we can get in touch. That'd be great.
That's awesome.
Cool. Is there any other last words you want to tell our listeners before we have to say goodbye?
I got to think about this for a second. Any last words?
So ominous.
I know. No.
I encourage listeners in general, if you want to make board games or if you want to do something creative, read as much as you can and think outside of the box and don't be afraid to change, actually, if you find something else that interests
you.
Cool. Read a lot. Keep an open mind.
Those are great last words, Brandon. Well, thanks for being on the show, and we'll catch you next time, maybe at Proto Atlanta.
Maybe so.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Catch you later.
Bye. Well, it was great having Brandon on the show, and really cool things about game development. But we want to talk about what you're listening for.
That's right.
You've been waiting. How can I enter this giveaway? Before we do that, though, we want to remind you about our other giveaway, because we have a Gleam contest going on right now. It ends April 30th. You can go to our website, tantrumhouse.com, and you can look for the link to Gleam. All you have to do is be a subscriber to our YouTube channel and confirm that through the Gleam link there. And we're trying, we hopefully have already reached 10,000 subscribers, we're like 100
that's
away.
That's how we're going
to
celebrate.
So we're celebrating, giving 10 games away, one game to 10 different people. And look forward to seeing who those winners are. But our giveaway for today's episode is coming from Fisher Heaton Games. They're giving away a copy of Intel. And we're going to do something with our Tantrum Kick of the Week. So all you need to do is look for our post on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram this week. And it'll be hashtag Tantrum Kick of the Week. And you can just share that, and you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win a copy of Intel. So
yeah, so we'll announce that winner next week on the show.
Yep.
Probably. I don't know how time travel works, but
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get that figured out. And we, I mean, you're probably familiar, maybe you're not, that we do this every single week. We do the Kick of the Week.
Yeah.
And we pick a different game that's on Kickstarter. We all kind of pull our brains together.
Yep. And this week's Moonshot.
There we go.
So great. Look for our post about Moonshot, hashtag Tantrum Kick of the Week. And we...
What day of the week do you usually do your kick?
Usually Wednesdays or Thursdays.
This one will go up a little early. Well, I think we should post it probably Monday.
We can post it Monday for you.
Then when you go looking for it, you'll be good to go.
Just for our listeners.
Yes, and then make sure that you...
We'll launch it Tuesday when it launches on Kickstarter.
Yes.
Even better.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yep, and then make sure that you use the hashtag on social media before Sunday night, April 29th.
Oh, perfect.
That'll work. All right, cool. So go enter that contest tomorrow. Don't forget. Go check out all those cool games that we just talked about. And we'll see you next time, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Alrighty, talk to you later. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!